right from the start. Love letter straight from your heart. Love letter straight from your heart.
CTV's This Week with David Brinkley. Naturally, he denied it all. Meanwhile, the Rockefeller cartel had been working feverishly to stave off the nuclear war that would cost them everything. In connection with the limited new anti-Bolshevik Rockefeller Soviet quid pro quo, Haig had engaged in three major bargaining sessions with Russia's foreign minister Gromyko in 9 months.
When you speed up the amount of information and the access to information, when you can put the whole Big Oxford Dictionary on a, and many more on a single electric drum and dial any word you'd like any instant, when you have instant access to every kind of data, data classification becomes a rather futile way of learning and teaching, and pattern recognition becomes mandatory. It's the only way of coping with instant and total fields of data. There's a story of Edgar Allan Poe that has some relevance here called The Maelstrom. Poe tells about a fisherman, a sailor, who went out fishing. And in the late afternoon, ignoring the time and the signs, he got caught in a turn of the tide and a great strom or whirlpool developed, and he realized he couldn't row out of it, and he began fascinatedly to watch the action of the strom, and he noticed that some kinds of planks, timbers, and such were sucked down into the whirlpool, and other kinds of things tended to pop up again. He attached himself to one of these recurring forms and was saved. Pattern recognition.
The job of the artist is to keep people tuned to the present. And if you're going to tune their sensibilities and their perceptions, you have constantly to rearrange the focusing of their perceptions. The artist's job is to make it new at all times, not for the sake of novelty, but for the sake of relevance.
Housing the body. Whose body? What are the hidden agendas that shape our housing? From the condo to the suburban dream, what are the alternatives? Squatter settlements. How to form a co-op. What's it like to live in a warehouse? Interviews with architects, politicians, and dwellers. Housing the body. Will we be housed, or will we house ourselves? A feature presentation of Spirit Tracks, every second Sunday in August and September at 10 a.m. on CKLN.
Yeah. And what do you know about the number 22?
It's a master number.
Yeah, where's 11 for the way?
Well, 11 is a master. Both 11 and 22 are master numbers, which are not broken down. You know, all the others, you get them, you add. But 11 and 22 are not broken down.
Now, does this come from the Kabbalah?
Well, the Kabbalah has 22 paths.
22 letters originally.
And 22 letters of the Hebrew language. But there's 10 sephira and 22 paths. That's 32.
I see. And but the 22, was that something that came out of Western mysticism?
I think the numerology sort of did, but it also had to be you know, influenced by all of that back there. It, you see, your tarot cards are supposed to be very, very ancient, but were hidden away for a long time.
Yeah.
The story was that there were 144,000 books, but all but 40,000 of them were destroyed in a great cosmic war. And in order to save the 40,000, there was a request, how do I do this? And it says, what you do is you have to create 22 major, well, actually, 1 plus 21. The fool card is 0.
Yeah.
But it is one of the major arcane, and there's 21 other cards in the major arcane. And then when events occurred, whereas a portion of Osiris was destroyed, then that was when the books were set up. There's 14 cards in each suit in the ancient, but in the modern playing cards, there's 13 cards. They've left out, a page or something.
You mean when Sirius was damaged, the cards were set up? You said the books. You mean the cards?
Well, I mean the formula for the cards.
Oh, okay.
Because there was basically the major arcane. And sometimes when somebody is really working very high, they only work with the major cards. They don't work with the suits. But if you're doing a fairly comprehensive life day-to-day operation, then you include that because it's beyond, you know, you're operating in a lower level rather than going up to the height that exists. See, it's like you touch eternity. You only touch it once.
Yeah.
If you go touch it again, it's the same one. And if you go up to that level, and in a way, some of the stuff that I've had to do is to go up to that same level that I'm familiar with all the time, and I know what it can do.
Well, I'm glad I got that on tape. This is interesting.
But it's like I said, I'm not making a move for power.
No, I know that.
I'm making a move to manage the power that I've got, and in some ways, what this is showing me, that if I don't manage it, I will be... And I've already gone through that. This is the fourth 7-year cycle, and I certainly want to stay around for a while.
The fourth 7-year cycle?
For me, in terms of knowledge of this sort of thing.
Since you were 28?
Yes, and actually since I was about 27. I found out at 27 I had to clean house fast in the next year in order to come in at the age of 28 with enough clean house to do great things. And, of course, each of the next 3 7-year, as a matter of fact, the last 4 7-year cycles, I've been required to take great personal sacrifice. But those things probably were because I identified with a lot of other people and saved and helped them at great sacrifice to myself in terms of somebody called me self-indulgent. You said over the air?
No, that putting it on called the interview itself as self-indulgent.
All right, well, they probably would have thought that, but you see, what I was having to do was to get to the point of including myself in, or else letting the forces involved include me out. And I just like I stood up on my hind leg and I said, look, this is enough. And when I say enough, it isn't self-indulgent, it's survival.
This is Willie Dixon, and you're listening to CKLN 88.1.
Your picture from my wall, and I replace them both large and small, and each new day is so blue. Nothing takes the place of you. I read your letters one by one, and I still love you. When it's all said and done, and oh my darling, I'm so blue, because nothing, oh nothing, takes the place of you. Raining on my window pane, and I feel the need of you, because without you nothing seems the same. Until you're home again, I love you, but I'm all alone, and oh my darling, I'm so blue, because nothing, oh but nothing, takes the place of you.
Bill Scott Heron, and you're listening to CKLN, nonprofit, all business, 88.1 FM in Toronto.
More than the greatest love the world has known, this is the love I'll give to you. Alone, more than the simple words I try to say, I only live to love you more each day, more than you'll ever know. My arms long to hold you, so my life will be in your keeping, awaking, sleeping, laughing, weeping. Longer than always is a long, long time, but far beyond forever, you'll be mine. I know I never lived before, and my heart is very sure no one else could love you more. I know I never lived before, and my heart is very sure no one else could love you more.
I say, I don't worry about them because they're not in charge. And I know the hostages will be back. But 25 years from now, if we keep letting these superpowers rip off third world nations, 25 years from now, them cats ain't going to be sitting in the American embassy. They're going to be sitting in power. And so, you know, it can come that close. And so I would just hope that that can happen. I would hope that we can set it up on a worldwide level. And this is the first time I've ever said this to anybody. I said it to Father Tom today. I have never mentioned this to an audience in America. But that's what I'm planning on doing once we locate the type of people that want to make the investment, because it's going to take an awful lot of money to do that, because we got to print up books. We got to print up prayer books. We got to print up. I even want to come up with a prayer hat, so you can wear this hat and the people. And once the people see, once we start identifying with the other side, it's not that many people that's for war. Once we start identifying with that other side, things start happening. You know? And we really think they got a grip on everything. I got one son that they can never draft. Why? Because I did one simple thing. I gave him one name, Gregory. His name's not Gregory, it's Gregory. Okay? Now, the War Department in America, the Draft Bureau, is all by computers. The computer will kick one name out. You have to have two names for the computer. Think about that. So my son can never have a police record. The FBI can never keep files on him. The CIA can never keep files on him. He can never get a Social Security card. The whole system over there is set up with computers. And in order to keep track on him, they got to go outside the system, which would cost them millions of dollars. And so we all sit back and just got frightened over the computers. I'm still more intelligent than a machine in my own little dumb way. And I get folks send me these. Y'all get these bills over here with them little cards in them, with them holes in them. And if I ain't got no money, I punch three more holes in it and send the damn card back. And that blow the computer out for about 6 months. You see, don't send me no damn card. Because they ain't even, if them letters you be getting, that come from a damn machine. Ain't nobody writing you but a machine. Da-da-da-da. You are, if we don't hear from you in a few minutes, we're going to turn this over to the legal department. And I just punch some holes in it, ba-ba-ba-ba, and send it back. And I don't hear from them for about 9 months. And finally, I say this to you. I believe that the problems that's confronting your country are very minor compared to the ones that's confronting ours. I have never tried to appease nobody in my life. I don't believe that Canada is suffering from the madness yet that we are in America. But there was a time when we in America wasn't as mad as we are now. And I would just hope that it would just be a beautiful thing if when you heard the word Canada around the world, you would think about peace. You would think about, and y'all really ain't big enough to be fighting. You know, I mean, you'd be wiped out in an hour. So you ain't got no choice. I mean, you can't muster no army. So you can't never be recognized as a world power. So why not go for the other end of it, which is bigger? Recognize as a force in the world that deal with integrity and honesty. And why don't you get you a force like our CIA, except you use yours to locate world hunger. You use yours to locate sickness and disease on the planet and let anybody on the planet know. You know what would be good over here? If you all would set up a food bank, just like we have money banks, and let all the nations, before you get into a bad famine, you always have abundance. And so if you set up a food bank and tell anybody who contributes grain and stuff to the food bank that one day when they're having bad times, they can draw from that bank. And you do the same thing with world hunger that the money manipulators do with food. And then once people on this planet know that there's hope, and finally I say this to you, in 1963, I took a picket sign all by myself in 64, and I stood in front of public school stadium in St. Louis, Missouri. What was going on there? The AAU was having their track qualifications for the Olympic Games. And I begged black athletes to boycott the Olympic Games so we could get some rights and embarrass America on a worldwide level. Didn't one black athlete even talk to me. I left, I felt so bad, I flew in from San Francisco because I was working a nightclub and I had to fly right back that evening. I sit on the plane and I'll never forget how disgusted I felt, how pitiful I felt. That, I mean, I go all the way there and not one black athlete even say hello. The Olympic Games one year was held in Mexico City, and all at once, black athletes was talking about boycotting. the Olympic Games. They were being led by a black man by the name of Harry Edwards. We went to Mexico and ran. Three insignificant black men who the world ain't never heard of got up on the stand, and instead of accepting their medal, they balled up their fists and held their head down. And it set a flame around the world. Harry Edwards wrote a book, and I got a copy of the book, and I was reading it, and he said, the way I got the idea for the Olympic boycott, I live in East St. Louis, Illinois, which is across the bridge from St. Louis, Missouri. My father was carrying me to a track meet one day, and Dick Gregory was standing outside with a picket sign saying, boycott the Olympics. And then I realized for the first time that God says there's a time for planting and there's a time for harvesting. But you will not be able to harvest until you plant that seed. Because of those three insignificant black men, the next Olympics was held in Canada, and all the whole continent of Africa walked out to protest and to dramatize South Africa. Because of those three insignificant black brothers that balled up their fists, it set the continent of Africa on fire. And when they balled up their fists in Mexico, the United States government said, don't use the Olympics as a protest. And then the next 4 years, the United States of America said, we're not going to the Olympic Games. We're going to boycott it. All that started from three black men who thought they was insignificant. There are no insignificant people on the planet. And I say to you tonight that Canada can set this world on fire for good if you make up your mind that you're not going to tolerate living in a world that constantly we worrying about a nuclear threat, that constantly you got to go to bed at night while other people are starving to death. And once you decide you're not going to tolerate it, things will change. And God, what a lovely, and then I really would come up here and live then. God bless you. Thank you.
That's the way Finnegan's Wake's written. Every word canceled by the opposite. Day of the night, night of the day.
I should read that. Was it put into a play, Bobby, too? Or was it a play? It was a novel, wasn't it? I just saw the cover and couldn't stand the pages inside. They started to burn me or something.
Yeah, right.
I backed away.
Well, you could get a copy. We could give you a copy.
Talk about the asylum you and I are in. We're in the same ward, I think.
The same ward, right?
What?
The same ward. We're Ward 4.
Oh, no, nobody comes to our ward. They're scared to death of us, even the doctors. They won't even give us injections anymore. We're giving them to them now.
That's right. Keep laughing.
Keep them laughing.
But I like your idea.
What kind of an old place is that village in Toronto anyway, that joint, that hip-hop town up there?
Yeah, the
My God, what is it? They're always talking about raiding the bars and everything. Why don't they raid their own Parliament Hill for a while?
That's right.
My God, this Trudeau. What do you think of that, Cree, anyway? I listen to his clever mind myself sometimes.
There's Furry.
I don't believe it, but I just listen to him, you know.
I guess he hasn't finished yet. Still trying to figure out his private awareness versus his public awareness. But
I think that he is going to be a candidate for
the
Canadians should be proud. If he gets reelected,
we've come to the end of what we want to know about Furry. And I don't think anybody will ever forget Furry Lint. So who's forgotten Furry Lint? It's not an accurate question. It's not a good question. The question is a direct statement, a symbolist statement. The phrase, hand signals for the blind. That's the correct phrase. So it's appropriate that the production of Who's Forgotten Furry Lint, which has gone on for the last 4 years here on CKLN, is really inside the phrase, hand signals for the blind. Thank you, I say again. Again, I say thank you very much, and good luck.
The Muffin Man is seated at the table in the laboratory of the Utility Muffin Research Kitchen. Reaching for an oversized chrome spoon, he gathers an intimate quantity of dried muffin remnants, and brushing his scapular aside, proceeds to dump these inside of his shirt. He turns to us and speaks.